The topic is this. It's why do I feel stuck? Mm-hmm. So many people in the world, you know, especially here in the United States, just kind of go with the flow, go with the path of least resistance. Mm-hmm. I actually made a decision to become a pastor. It was a big decision for me. I had all this education over, you know, if I added up all the tuition, which most of it was scholarship, it would be like $500,000 of tuition. Really why I became a pastor is because I love God, first of all, but secondly, I love people and I really want to help people. But there is a spiritual aspect of it. Mm-hmm. It's not just your own strength, your own willpower, but it does take faith and hearing from God and also making a decision. Faith makes a decision. But what really gets people out of that rut?
Hello, and welcome to the Purdue Podcast. This is Real Talk and Kingdom Walk, and we are so happy that you're here with us today. I am so excited about this topic we're going to share with you. But first, we need you to subscribe to this channel. We need to know where you're watching from, who you are. Tell us a little bit about yourself in the comments. If you have any questions or things that really resonate with you, please share them in the comments. We love to hear from you. So I don't think I said who I am. I'm Pastor Heather Purdue at Caris Christian Center in Colorado Springs. And this is...
I'm Pastor Aaron Purdue. So also here in Colorado Springs. We've been married over 6 years now, about 6.5 years. We have 2 kids, so we're busy with parenting and life, very involved in ministry here at the church, but we really want to reach out. You know, people here at the church, I know, watch this, but also people outside the church. So this is just...
And people abroad.
And people abroad.
Yeah.
It's exciting. So I'm actually really excited about the topic today.
Yeah, me too.
And I think it's a really good topic, and it's relevant to everyone. And I think it's going to resonate with everyone here and just help people in life. And we were talking just yesterday about why I became a pastor. You kind of got thrown into it by marrying me, by helping me with ministry. But I actually made a decision to become a pastor. It was a big decision for me. And because I had studied for over 10 years in college for classical music, when I was making the decision to become a pastor, I was about ready to complete my doctorate. I did end up completing my doctorate in music, but, you know, I had all this education over, you know, if I added up all the tuition, which most of it was scholarship, it would be like $500,000 of tuition to, you know, be a classical musician, to be a university professor. And I went into something else that I had no formal training in. Mm-hmm. I believe that God prepared me and, you know, has equipped me to do it, and I'm still growing in it. But it was a big decision. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about why I became a pastor. I remember just someone was kind of arguing with me on social media, and I decided I don't like arguing with people. I really, that's not what I'm about.
Well, they reached out to you first because it seemed like they had some type of genuine question that they really wanted the answer
and
to.
And I love to talk, to help people. But really why I became a pastor is because I love God, first of all. But secondly, I love people, and I really want to help people. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this podcast. You know, this is, I know what was on your heart. You really want to help people too.
Yeah.
And that's why you wanted to start this podcast, just help everyone. Help people at church, help people who don't go to church, help people, just whoever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesus wants to help people. I believe that's the heart of Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be a great topic that is going to help a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So the topic is this. It's why do I feel stuck? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you might feel this way right now. Maybe you felt this way before. You will feel this way at some point in your life. But why do you feel stuck? Why are you stuck? Mm-hmm. And why do people kind of just remain stuck? You know, we talked about different things that people... like ourselves or people close to us, they get stuck in bad relationships. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe they're dating someone and they all the evidence is there that it's not a good thing, but they're just stuck there.
Yeah, or they have like, they're stuck in like a dead-end job.
Or just, or they and then now like they're not really supposed to do that long-term, or but they, you know.
But they feel like they can't get out of it.
They feel like they can't get out of it. So, you know, people just go with the flow, go with the path of least resistance and just be stuck. You know, people get stuck in certain religions, you know,
our
mindsets or places where they know like this isn't where I'm ultimately supposed to be or called to be, like, and you feel God nudging you, you feel like you're supposed to move somewhere else. Yeah. You might not know where specifically, but people do get stuck. And some people get out of those situations. They do move forward. So we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, before we dive into that, though, I want to remind you of this. You know, I was talking to a friend this week. I have a friend that's in the hospital, and she's not really doing that good. But I have another friend. The three of us, we went to Charis Bible College together. And there's the one that's in the hospital, and then our other friend, she was living in California, and she said, I could not find a job anywhere. I looked and looked and looked and looked and could not find a job anywhere. She even said that she was on the brink of, like, being homeless is what she told me. And she said, so she made contact with some people back here. But she said, I knew if I could just get back to Colorado, any of those people that I used to work for and any of the jobs that I had, they would all hire me back because she had really good relationships with them. Mm-hmm. But she had no reason in the natural other than that to come back here. But then when she moved back here is when our friend got sick, and she's able to help her and her husband while she's in the hospital. And she was just like, that was just a God thing. I knew that it was. But, you know, sometimes people are in situations where things are just not working out, and they can't figure out, like, why is nothing working out for me? Well, sometimes you got to make a choice to move, to get out of there.
Yeah. This is kind of what we're going to be focusing on, is like how to get out of being stuck.
Yeah.
Being stuck emotionally. You know, people get stuck with unhealthy lifestyles. Yeah. You know, get stuck at a, you know, certain body weight, and they want to get out. They try different, you know, people get stuck in different things.
Yeah, they do.
It could be physical. It could be emotional. It could be spiritual. It could be financial. Mm-hmm. It could be relational. But we want to talk about why people do get stuck, why I've been stuck, why you might be stuck, but what really gets people out of that rut?
Yeah.
And it takes faith.
It does take faith.
It does take faith. Faith, and this is something that I really believe strongly, is that faith is very decisive.
Yeah.
Faith is extremely decisive. It is all in. It makes a decision, and it sticks with it no matter what. And so many people in the world, you know, especially here in the United States, just kind of go with the flow, go with the path of least resistance. Mm-hmm. And faith really goes against that.
Yeah.
And we're going to kind of talk, give some revelation, some insight into that. But I hope this helps you get unstuck. You know, we have people close to us, too, that just they're just stuck. Mm-hmm. And they know they are, but they just keep staying stuck there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not leading, and people know it's not, the trajectory is not going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. It's not good for their physical health. It's not good for their future. It's not good for, you know, but why are you stuck?
Yeah.
And it does take faith.
Yeah.
Faith is a huge part of it. It's not just willpower. Some people have a lot of willpower. They have a willpower for, you know, getting out of debt, willpower for starting a business, getting, you know, willpower to save, willpower to exercise, willpower. But there is a spiritual aspect of it. Mm-hmm. It's not just your own strength, your own willpower, but
yeah,
it does take faith and hearing from God and also making a decision. Faith makes a decision. It's very decisive. And God honors your decisions. He honors your choices. And if you make a decision, He's going to back it up. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, we were talking about me becoming a pastor. I spent 3 months just really focused and praying about it because I wanted to hear from God, because I know it's not just, I didn't want to be my decision, my feelings, my thought process, my rationale. And actually a lot of that was going against me giving up all that education and talent and connections. And I really wanted to hear from God.
Yeah.
But in that process of praying, God spoke to me and He said, the decision is yours. If you want to stay in classical music, become a professor, become an orchestral player, I'll help you do that.
Yeah.
You'll be successful in it. But if you want to be a pastor, I'm gonna back that up as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'll help you be a great pastor. I'll take care of you. I'll help you with that. And so He was making the decision up to me, but I felt Him nudging me in the one direction. Mm-hmm. And God really does want us to make decisions, to hear from him, but also to make that decision ourselves.
Yeah, I feel like some people stay stuck because they like, especially Christians. God, Christians can be the worst because they're like, I just need to get a word from God. Then they get a word from God. Then they need to hear another word from God. Mm-hmm. And then they need another one. And then they need a word from their pastor. And then they never make a decision to do anything. And then they wonder, what's wrong with me? Well, mm-hmm. you got to make a decision. And then you got to do it.
Yeah. And there's certain decisions you pray about and then you've decided and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I decided I was going to be a pastor and I'm setting my hands to the plow and I'm not looking back.
Yeah.
And I don't wake up every day and ask, like, God, should I be a pastor?
Yeah.
God, you know, there's certain decisions you make in life that you've prayed about it. You've sought God. Mm-hmm. And you're all in.
And you walk out by faith.
I prayed about marrying you, Heather.
Yeah.
And I made the decision, I'm going to marry you. I said, I, you know, with all my worldly goods, I, you know, everything I have is yours.
Yeah.
And I don't wake up every morning questioning that.
Mm-hmm.
This is it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't question whether I should be a father to my two children. Like, I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need any feeling or confirmation or it is. That's it.
Yeah.
And some of you need to get to that level with certain aspects of your life to get mm-hmm. unstuck. You need to take your faith that you have and make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to move.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be in this place. Like, this place, like, I can tell the trajectory is not good.
Right.
Just everything around me, all my friends, everything around me is not good. I am going to move.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making the decision.
Yeah.
You did that.
Yeah, I did.
You moved here.
Yeah.
You know, you had your life in Tennessee. You were born, raised there, all your friends there, all your connections there, all your family there, mm-hmm. all your
support
there,
system.
You know, business there. You owned your hair salon. It takes years to build up your clientele.
Mm-hmm.
You worked hard to build up, you know, I know you became an expert social media person.
Mm.
Well, you knew quite a bit for a church.
Yeah.
But you'd done a lot of that just building your business.
Yeah.
So you spent a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of education, a lot of, you know, building that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go.
It's not faith until it's moving, until it's doing something.
Yeah.
Because I think faith is an act. I think mm-hmm. faith does something. Faith is energetic. It doesn't stay still. It's not mm-hmm. complacent.
And when you're stuck in a rut, you're not really going anywhere.
You're not going anywhere.
With the flow. You're just going with the path of least resistance. Like,
yes.
Well, it's a lot of work to.
I love what your dad says about a rut. Do you know what he says about a rut?
Yeah.
What does he say?
A rut is just a grave.
With the ends knocked out. Yeah. That is so true.
Mm.
And, you know, when it came to me making the decision to move here, I just, you know, frankly, I just kind of got to the end of myself. Like, I know I've done my life my way for a while and hasn't been the most joyful experience in the world, and let's try something else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had to, not only did I have to exercise my faith when I made the decision, but even as my stepdad was bringing the moving truck into the driveway and we were loading the stuff up on the truck, like, I'm still making that decision. I'm moving, you know. It's like, it's a continual thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, the payoff, mm-hmm. the reward to walking out and making that decision and actually doing it, there is nothing like it in this mm-hmm. world. And it just makes me want to, like, shake people as a pastor, and not just as a pastor, but as a Christian who has followed God and is continuing to follow God, that my heart just aches for the people that I know, they just need to make a decision
mm-hmm.
and do it.
And sometimes the deciding act is the toughest.
It is, yeah.
Like, we were talking about one of our role models, mentors, Andrew Womack,
mm-hmm.
how, and he brings it up in, you know, with his students and ministry, that when he decided he was going to be all in for God and just not go along with the path of least resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And he said for him, the path of least resistance, you know, Andrew Womack, right now, I believe he's 75 years old, so this is over 50 years ago, 55 years ago, he was going to college for education because everyone in his family was a teacher.
Yeah.
He's in Texas. Education is a big deal there. Job opportunities, you will be a teacher, go to college for teaching. And he just knew that wasn't his trajectory. And I think that's a good word to think about is trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're on a certain trajectory and you know it's not the right trajectory.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a relational thing. Maybe it's a health thing. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. But you can just tell this is not the right trajectory. This is not where I'm going
to
live.
Where I want to end up. Trajectory is like the goal of where I want to be. Some people want to be something. They want to have a ministry. They want to be an expert in some field or whatever. And I believe that it is God's will for them to get to that desire. But the things that they're doing on a daily basis don't match up. That's not the trajectory of where they want to go. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty wild to me. That's like me saying, I want to be a bodybuilder, but I'm going to get up and just eat whatever I want and eat cake and never work out and just sit around and watch TV. I'm never going to hit that mark.
Yeah.
Because I haven't made that decision.
Yeah, and going back to like Andrew Womack.
Yeah.
Like getting out of that trajectory.
Yeah.
He decided to quit college, but for him that meant he's going to get drafted in the Vietnam War, and he did go to Vietnam.
Not only that, he got Social Security from his dad passing away, and he lost that too.
And even you, when you moved here and then married me, you were getting Social Security as a widow. And you know, that went away for you.
Yeah.
And even people that you knew said, why would you, like, you should just live off this forever.
You yeah, know,
like,
you why? Should just be with Aaron and not get married so you can have that Social Security. Like, what? Like, that is the dumbest thing. That is so fear-based.
I think that's one reason why people kind of get stuck in a rut is fear.
Yeah, it is.
And the fear to make a decision. And that's really, that's really the first part of a faith step. You know, I talk about four steps of faith.
Yeah.
But the really the first step is to make a decision. A lot of people can't make a decision. They're just crippled by fear or what other people think.
Yeah.
What, you know, and also just I don't.
What the, you know, worrying about what other people think is probably was my biggest hurdle. Because like having lost your spouse and then you have a son who doesn't have a dad, and then you're going to take, I remember that being like the biggest hurdle in my mind was the fact that I knew people were looking at me thinking, I can't believe you're going to take your son away from everybody that he knows. But you know what? Decisions for God sometimes don't make sense in the natural. And moving away and then marrying you and then we still have our family and our friends back in Tennessee. Like, we didn't lose any of that, but we gained so much more. And that's such a big thing to think about when you are in fear and you're scared to make that decision. You're scared of what people might think. You're scared of what you might lose. But you really should think about what you're going to win, what you're going to get. Because God's not going to call you to do something only to just abandon you, you know.
And when you look at great people of faith that you know today, maybe you know them personally, maybe you kind of observe them from afar, great people of faith through scripture, great people of faith through history, they're all very decisive people. And their goal in life wasn't just comfort.
Right.
Or just doing
Whatever was easy.
Whatever was easy. And that's kind of like the flesh just wants to do what's easy. You know, like your flesh just doesn't want to work out. Your flesh doesn't want to wake up. Your flesh doesn't want to
do anything that is minutely hard in the least.
But it does. That first step, you have to make a decision. You keep believing. You keep speaking. And you keep taking action.
Yeah.
You know, those are the four, I believe, simple keys to faith.
Yeah.
A lot of people overcomplicate faith. So many people overcomplicate it. And it's actually incredibly simple. And some things that are so simple, that's why people miss it.
Yeah.
And don't understand it. But faith, I believe these are four great keys. We're going to focus on the first one. But faith, number one, makes a decision.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't make it that far.
No, they don't.
Faith believes. You know, faith speaks, and faith takes action.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these things kind of happen simultaneously.
Yeah.
You know, the believing, speaking, moving, doing something, deciding. But deciding, I think, really is the first thing. And it's going to go against what people think.
Mm-hmm.
What
you think.
The whole of society thinks. Sometimes how your own feelings
mm-hmm.
are directing you. You know, I brought up this example in scripture about Elijah in the Bible. You know, you talk about great people of faith, just fiery people.
Yeah.
People who can literally change a nation. They understand the importance of making a decision
mm-hmm.
and how you can't just go with the flow. You can't just do what everyone expects you to do. You know, I have a really close friend, and we had similar upbringings. He's also raised in a good Christian home. But when he went off on his own, he wanted to be counterculture. I don't want to just do how I was raised. I want to be counterculture. And he kind of became a communist, atheist, hippie. And we were still close. We'd talk to each other. He even came and visited me in Pittsburgh. And I was very blunt with him. I can be very direct sometimes to a fault. God's still speaking to me about when and when I shouldn't be so direct. But I just told him, you're an idiot. And like, you know, you're not thinking right. And like, there is a God. And, you know, and I think people you care about, you're going to be honest with. And, I think over time I'll learn how to say things mixed with kindness and things as well. I'm a kind person, but sometimes I get a little fired up.
That's my youth. There's grace for you.
But Elijah saw just the trajectory of Israel, the trajectory of going with the flow in Israel. And like, people were getting into Baal worship, you know,
mm-hmm.
just horrible, horrible way to go. And it was the politically correct thing to do. I didn't finish the story about my friend, but eventually my friend moved back home and then went to University of Colorado in Boulder, and he realized, like, hey, being a hippie, being a communist, being atheist,
it's actually kind of normal.
This is the flow of the world. he actually got born again, got saved, married.
He's like flip-flopped.
Five
completely.
Kids. Yeah.
Studies the Bible all the time.
And realizes, like, hey, this is actually counterculture. This is counter going with the flow.
Uh-huh.
And he's a great friend of me. So Elijah just saw all this going on. And, you know, Ahab, the king of Israel, married Jezebel, who was a princess from Sidon, which is, you know, the culture there is to worship Baal.
Yeah.
And she brought all of that with her to Israel and was forcing that on the nation of Israel, you know, politically, religiously, spiritually. And the first time Elijah is actually mentioned in scripture, you know, before he performed any miracle or had any following, the first time Elijah is mentioned in scripture, you can, for those of you Bible scholars out there, you can go look it up, but go look up Elijah. First time his name is mentioned in scripture, he just comes out of nowhere and he just approaches Ahab and just says, this is wrong.
Yeah.
There's one true God. So he actually stood up for truth, stood up for God, stood up, you know, and I think as believers, we need to always be doing that.
Yeah.
You can't just let whatever just push you, push your family, push society, push
mm-hmm.
things in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And if you want to experience that power, sometimes you have to make a decision
mm-hmm.
to stand up. And Elijah became more prominent. You know, miracles started happening. He started having more of a following, would preach more, was getting more and more out there, to a point that Ahab said, you're a troubler of Israel. Some people have accused me of being a troubler because I'll speak out.
Mm-hmm.
Even you.
And that's what, when you're really following God with your whole heart, that's what people say, you're a troubler. Mm. See, people that aren't following God with their whole heart, when they see you and what you're doing with your life and when you're hearing God and you're moving with God, that convicts people. Mm-hmm. Because it's proof to them, it's testimony to them that there is a God. Mm-hmm. and they're not listening to him. Mm-hmm. And I think it's significant that Ahab said, "Oh, you troubler of Israel." You know, that's what people try to say. Are you sure you're doing the right thing? Are you sure, you know? And the thing is, yeah.
I remember sure. During COVID, I have all these friends from school still on like Facebook and stuff.
I don't know either.
But I saw them post stuff during COVID, like, why are these churches still open?
They're killing people.
They're the troublers of America, these churches. And
meanwhile, people are killing themselves because they're so isolated.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, we're the ones troubling.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Society. It's very ironic.
It's so Bible. The Bible is so relevant. I don't know how anybody, you know, doesn't get that. But
and this, what we're going to tell you about Elijah, it's still happening today.
Yeah.
Where you can't just go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And Elijah made a decision. Hey, we're gonna find out who the true God is. Yeah. It's either Baal or it's Yahweh,
mm-hmm.
Jehovah, the one true Lord. But today we're gonna find out. We're gonna make a decision. And so I'm going to read here from 1 Kings 18. We won't read the entire section here, but it's awesome. He actually, you know, calls for the prophets of Baal to just show up, and we're gonna figure out who the one true God is.
Yeah.
And it says here, 1 Kings 18, verse 24, starting in verse 20, actually. It says, "So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions?'"
I love that.
Man, so many people they're just faltering between two mm-hmm. opinions. Should I stay in this bad relationship or not?
Mm-hmm.
Should I move or should I not? Should I start going to church or should I just stay at home? Should I?
I have such a good testimony about this. This just happened to me Sunday night. You want me? Can I share it?
Yeah, yeah.
Sunday night, we walked into church because we had a guest speaker here. And we usually have the same people, you know, sitting in our area or like behind us or whatever. And I'm used to seeing them. And when I walked in to take my seat, I saw this woman that was sitting behind me. And she... it was very apparent that she had suffered from Bell's palsy. You could tell because half of her face was kind of drooping a little bit. And immediately I was mad. Not at her. I was just mad at the enemy. Like, how dare you come and try to harass my church family? I don't think so. And I knew in me that I was supposed to pray for her. Like, I don't know how to explain it other than I should have just grabbed her by the head and prayed for her. That's how like strong that desire was on the inside of me, but I didn't do it. And instead, I spent three worship songs during the worship set faltering between two opinions. And I was just talking to you about this Sunday night after we got home, because I ended up by the third worship song, I finally decided I'm going to pray for her. Mm-hmm. And I turned around, I prayed for her. And I did what God told me to do, but I didn't do it when he told me to do it. Mm-hmm. And I prayed for her. There were no signs of any visible healing in her face, even though I believe that she's going to recover fast. Mm-hmm. When I turned around, like after I got done praying for her, I opened my eyes and her face was still the same. And I told her I loved her or whatever. And I turned back around and immediately I said, "God, why did that not work? Because you said that believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Why did that not work?" And then immediately God told me, "Well, you took too long. You didn't do it. You started doubting. You started faltering between two opinions." And what does it say in the Bible, Aaron, where one who doubts is like a ship on the sea tossed James, to and fro. And here's the thing. We got to make it that decision, mm-hmm. and we need to do it quick. Mm-hmm. When God tells us to do something, do it right then.
And I don't think there's a whole lot of people out there that are just naturally decisive decision makers.
No, but I've been praying that God would help me, because I feel like I should be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, because that's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And so I've been growing in this area, but I think it's so awesome that he's teaching me.
Mm-hmm.
And he has so much grace and so much love. And I'm not condemned at all, but I'm learning to be taught by the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. you know?
And I think spiritually, when you hear from God, it's better to just act on it.
It is. And I've even told God, Lord, help me to respond quickly to you. Mm-hmm. Because the faster you respond to him, the more he can tell you, the more you can do, mm-hmm. you know? But if this you're going to take forever.
This is a very unpolitically correct saying.
Uh-oh.
But I grew up hearing it from my dad. You know, my dad.
Don't rat your dad out.
Well, it's actually a great statement.
What's he say?
And I understand the context. You know, my dad was raised
on a farm.
On a farm, ranch in eastern Colorado. Like all my ancestors go back here out west. Mm-hmm. It's a very western thing to say. You know, they've been here. I did research on the Purdue ancestry, and we've been here before Colorado was a state. Mm-hmm. You know, out here with this western independent go get it type of mentality. But he had this saying, and I think it's so true. I haven't heard him say it from the pulpit in a long time because we were in a
city.
There
might be a reason why.
But he would say, shoot first, ask questions later.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And he's a decision maker.
Yeah.
He makes big decisions pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. I remember when we were deciding to buy this building. Yeah, and he seeks godly counsel. He is an advisory board, a legal board. Yeah. He has mentors. He does have great things in place in
great
case
counsel.
He's making a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when we were thinking about buying this building, you know, our current building was paid off, the location where we're at, you know, it was 30,000 square feet, a nice location, nice building. And he just felt like God was saying, hey, this isn't, it's this trajectory thing.
Yeah.
You know, and we were comfortable there and we could fit everyone there.
Mm-hmm.
It's comfortable enough. But he can see trajectory. That's part of faith and part of having vision,
mm-hmm.
is seeing trajectory.
Yeah.
I think that's a spiritual word for today, a prophetic word, trajectory. But he mm-hmm. could see the trajectory of our church was different. So he started looking for buildings. We found this building four times the size, four times the square footage. And I remember walking through it with him. Just seeing this enormous 120,000 square foot, empty, completely empty building. Had been empty for several years, had been foreclosed. And him just, you know, and he had the board come look at it. They're all unanimous, like, yes, this is the trajectory for our church.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking, and I think I told him too, like, God has to be in this. Like,
yeah.
It's so big.
Yeah.
I remember walking through the warehouse, which is now our sanctuary. It felt so huge.
Yeah.
And he wanted my take on it too, because, you know, the trajectory.
Yeah.
The trajectory of the church. And I said, it just has to be God. And it was. We ended up getting the building. And you can see after the fact.
Not only
more.
Did you get the building, but it was paid off.
Yeah, the day we walked in.
The day we
So God, God brings confirmation to it, but not until, like, you've already made that decision.
Yeah.
So sometimes he confirms things along. Mm-hmm. A lot of these things happen simultaneous.
I feel like he gives you enough road to walk on, but it's still going to allow you some room to make sure that you have to use your faith.
Yeah, you might not see every step, but you can see the general trajectory of where he wants you to go, what he wants you to do. The big picture kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I'm looking at people, I try to look at the trajectory, like maybe they're still have immaturities in this way or this way, but I'm not going to just chop them off because I try to look at the overall trajectory of how they're growing and where they're going.
Yeah, because it takes time to grow.
It does.
It takes time to grow.
So, you know, Elijah brings us up. How long will you falter between two opinions? Like, you know, paralysis.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to make a decision. I'm going to kind of worship Baal. I'm going to kind of worship God. I'm going to kind of go with the flow, kind of what. And so many people are just faltering between two opinions. You know, am I going to be with a lot of big issues, too?
Mm-hmm.
And he just said it how it was. He said, if the Lord, Lord all caps, he's talking about Yahweh, if he is God, follow him. Make a decision, you know, go that way, go that trajectory. But if Baal, follow him. And notice the people answered him not a word. They wouldn't say anything. Like they didn't want to make a decision. They didn't want to, they wanted to be comfortable. They didn't want to offend the king, the queen, the people in power, the what their neighbors are doing or thinking. They don't.
But we're gonna find out in a minute what happened to him. Are we reading this whole thing?
No. Oh, I'll just kind of. I'll just give the
story. The Cliff Notes version.
The Cliff Notes version. So he calls for all these prophets of Baal to come and build an altar, put your sacrifice on the altar, call upon your God. And then he said, "I'll do the same with my God." And he said, "The God who answers by fire, he is God." Maybe you want the fire of God in your life. It's not going to happen if you're still indecisive and faltering and just stuck in a rut. Mm-hmm. You have to be doing something. You have to decide to do something.
Yeah.
Man, what a bold thing to do. He just said, you call for all of your, get your main prophets
idols
there, and it's just going to be me. The real God who answers by fire, he is God. And I love Elijah because he's feisty. Mm-hmm. They're calling upon Baal. They're cutting themselves. They're pleading. They're begging. And he's not politically correct. He's making fun of them for their stupidity.
It's my favorite part of that whole story.
And I try to be kind to people, but sometimes the Baal worship that's out there today, it's just ridiculous.
Terrible.
It's terrible. Yeah. And it's really sad. Where that false God, false spirit, false, anti-Jesus, anti-Christ, where it takes people and they're thinking and they're believing and their actions and their worship. Mm-hmm. And it's
wild.
It's wild. So he's just mocking them. And then after hours and hours, they just give up. So he goes to his altar, builds a trench around it, fill it with water, water, just dump water. Because he knows that God's going to answer by fire. Mm-hmm. And he wants people to know beyond the shadow of a doubt. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't just because it was hot and there's a little spark there,
Yeah.
And, these people are going to know that there is a God. Mm-hmm. And he calls upon the name of the Lord, and he answers by fire. And
it falls. And doesn't it consume them, too? Or did it not?
They killed
remember
a lot of the Baal prophets.
That's
with
what
the
I'm
sword,
talking about.
I think.
Oh, okay.
The fire consumed the sacrifice. It, like...
So my point in bringing that up is that the people that don't answer when you don't make a decision, that's not always a safe place to live.
No.
Matter of fact, it's quite the opposite.
And you can see the trajectory.
Yeah.
Before you get there, you can see where it's going. You can see where that bad relationship's going. You can see where that bad job's going. You can see where those bad decisions are taking you. You can see it.
Yeah.
You can see what it's doing to yourself, mm-hmm. to your spouse, your family, mm-hmm. your life.
Yeah.
You can see where your decision to quit going to church and being offended. Mm-hmm. Offense is a choice.
It is a choice. That's a whole other topic.
So I want to bring this up. But when you study people of faith.
Yeah.
People of faith that you know today, like we mentioned Andrew Womack, he made a tough decision.
He did.
I'm going to stop going to college.
Yeah, and people don't think about, they don't slow down long enough to think about all the feelings that he probably encountered.
And what my mom thought, my grandma thought, aunts and uncles.
Yeah, because his dad had died, and so he had his mom and his grand, his close people. And even the godly people in his life really tried to discourage him. Mm-hmm. From quitting school because they knew he would be drafted. Mm-hmm. And that is crazy. Some people can't make a decision and they're not going to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. They're going to do, something that's not life-threatening. Mm-hmm. Like, give me a break. Like, that's...
So you study great people of faith.
Yeah.
Man, decision is a big part of it.
It is a big part of it.
You study people of faith in the Bible. You look at the, Faith Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 11. The first person mentioned Abel.
Yeah.
He chose. Mm-hmm. He made it, when you bring an offering, it's not just a go with the flow kind of thing. I love the first first person mentioned in the Faith Hall of Fame. It was about
an
offering.
Yeah.
You don't accidentally drop money in the bucket at church.
Yeah. No.
Like giving is a faith choice.
Mm-hmm.
So by faith, Abel chose to bring his best offering. Enoch chose to walk with God. He chose to do that. Noah chose to build an ark. You're not going to accidentally build an ark. And this is the cool thing about Noah and building of the ark. At that point in human history, people hadn't seen rain yet.
Yeah. So they're like, what are you doing? What is a boat?
Like, and God told him, gave him the measurements, gave him the, you know, blueprint for it.
Yeah.
And but that decision to build an ark, that it was a daily decision. Mm-hmm. For like, I think it took 100 years to build the ark. So he decided thousands and thousands and thousands. You make that initial decision, but hey, you know, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go do what God's called me to do.
Every day.
Yeah.
How long did it take him to build that?
I think it was 100 years.
Yeah. So he had to make that choice every morning to get up and go build that thing, even though he'd never seen rain, even though people thought he was crazy and mocking him for 100 years. People can't even make a decision to get up and do the same thing for 70, 75 hard.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It's true.
You know, Abraham and Sarah chose to become pioneers and move to Canaan.
Yeah.
A land that they didn't know, couldn't see, didn't know what the real estate, what the price of housing is like.
Mm-hmm. God told him to a land that I will show you. Mm-hmm. He didn't even know what it looked like.
Yeah.
He didn't know where he was going. He just chose to follow God.
Before we kind of close out, yeah. I just feel there's people watching this that you do feel like you've been stuck in a rut.
Mm-hmm. We can't get you out of that rut, okay? You have to get yourself out of that rut. You have to decide today, I'm going to make the decision to go on, to do the thing that God's called you to do, and we are going to pray for you, and we believe that God is going to empower you. I think he's already empowered you, but you need to quit being lazy and just get up and do what he's told you to do, because you want to hit that mark, that trajectory. You want to start getting on that path that's going to lead you to where you want to go, because where you're at right now, it's not taking you anywhere. So you need to decide today. Make that choice, right?
Amen.
Do you want to pray for them?
I'll pray for it, yeah.
Yeah, you
pray
for
that you just have that courage to take that step of faith and make that decision.
It's going
to
pay off.
And then you'll see as you start moving in that direction and doing that thing that God, you know, God has called you to do, that this is actual the trajectory for my life.
Yeah.
You're going to see it come together.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean that it's going to be always easy. It doesn't mean that everything's going to work out and just fall into place and just be so easy. Doesn't mean that.
But you're going to see it. You're going to see God show up. You're going to see the power. You're going to see the fire.
Yes, you're going to know.
Especially if it's a spiritual thing that he's calling you to do.
Mm-hmm.
But this is true for natural things as well.
Yeah,
there's a lot of crossover.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the natural things you need to do, it's to help you with spiritual things too.
Yeah.
Like it might be marrying the right person. That's because God has a great ministry call on your life.
For both of you.
For both of you, mm-hmm. Yeah. So why don't you pray, Heather?
You want me to pray?
Yeah,
okay.
Pray.
Lord, we just thank you so much that you guide us, you protect us. Lord, I pray over everyone watching that they're going to decide to make the choice to do what you have called them to do, that boldness is going to rise up in them. If they need a word from you, God, that you're already willing and waiting to give them that word, they just need to pick up their Bible and open it and start reading it. Lord, I just thank you for peace that's going to surpass all understanding for the people watching this who are going to make that decision. And Lord, we just thank you in advance for the doors that are opening and even the doors that need to close. We thank you, God, that they're going to recognize that those doors are closing and they're going to stop trying to kick them open and they're going to move on. And we just thank you for that. We thank you for your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for watching today. We're so blessed to share this time with you. And until next time, we'll see you later.